The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Beyond hello and yeehaw, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush. I am your host for this episode, 566 of Beyond. I am joined this week by John Ryan.
Howdy.
From our lovely Wikis team, Max Coville.
There's a snake in my boot.
And Brian Altano.
Beyond.
This week we are talking a lot about Red Dead Redemption 2. Obviously, we gave our initial spoiler-free thoughts last week, but we have so much more to talk about, especially
so very big.
You've been heavily involved in the guide for it, so we're going to go into a little bit of the weird glitches and stuff we've been encountering.
It's okay. No,
you're getting through it.
A happy cry?
No, I know that a lot of people are talking about Red Dead right now.
Yeah.
I want to just give a quick shout-out. We just got news. We're recording this. It is 10:24 in the morning. Ooh. On Wednesday.
Perfect time for this news.
We just got news via Twitter that the Red Dead Redemption 2 porn parody is beginning to they're about to start shooting.
Oh,
this is a
God.
Collaboration between Pornhub and Wood Rocket. And I don't know what
and not Rockstar Games.
Look, it's fine. We'll do this show. It's a family show.
We'll have a wiki for it. It'll be fine.
Oh, God. There we probably will.
We won't. We super won't.
Hey, if it's trending on Google, we probably will. Anyway, we're going to be talking a lot about more Red Dead Redemption 2 stuff. We're also going into the PlayStation Plus games that are free this month, as well as some of the big games releasing this week.
Just while you're listening to the show, just go download Yakuza Kiwami. We'll talk about that later.
All right, we're done with the BS Plus discussion. That worked out really well.
You don't need Bulletstorm. It's okay. Sorry, Duke Nukem.
It's okay.
Before we get there. Okay, John. Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. Before we get there, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, please. Oh, yeah, costume, let me as well. Hold on for those listening to the audio. Apologies.
We're good. So I just had to get my hat on.
We didn't get hats.
Me too. Oh, well.
You should have been told to bring hats.
No,
we should have.
I don't tell them anything.
I swear the show has just gone down the tubes ever since Max stopped hosting. You almost knocked over my coffee.
But I didn't for that skilled slide of the hat.
Oh, God. Anyway, so we're going to go in first. This is getting so off the rails.
I think our white balance is off. You can't even tell that's a hat. Brian is holding a piece of paper up with a hat drawn on it. Sort of looks like a hat.
Perfect.
Great job, everybody.
This episode is over.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Much like the glitches of the show, we want to talk a little bit about the glitches in the game.
Ooh, good.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of issues that have been happening on the show. Our producer, Bear Courtney, just ran to the studio. I love early morning shows. This is going so well. Want to talk about some of the weird things going on in the game to a lot of people these days. One of the biggest ones that we've seen reported is that people are missing camp members. Earlier in the game. Have any of you encountered this?
No, but I've seen that it's been plaguing a lot of people's game saves.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate.
Well, it's a hard one to track because your camp members wander off all over the place.
Right.
So I definitely have had that moment of fear that I had this glitch and I was running all over my camp looking for like the little boy or somebody.
Yeah.
For Lenny again, you know, like just trying to, and I was like, they were down by the
Lenny!
The wood pile or something. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's one of those ones, it's not like you go to a menu and something's grayed out.
Right.
You have to find them.
You just assume whether they're there or not. Yeah.
Like sometimes you get into the second or the third chapter and you're just like, I never learned to fish. Why?
We should probably have done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sadie, Jack, John, and Abigail have been disappearing from people's camps, and the glitch cause of it is in the early mission Polite Society Valentine style, if you fail and use the retry checkpoint save state sort of thing, it will prevent them from then showing up in your camp. So you have to complete that mission without restarting your checkpoint.
Get good,
all.
Everybody.
You can restart the whole mission.
Yes.
That's the important thing. Like, if you do get killed in that mission, which honestly I don't, if it's the mission I'm remembering, I don't know how you would.
I think it's pretty tough to,
yeah, it's real hard to. Yeah. But if you do, or if you need to restart for whatever reason, just make sure that you choose restart mission. And yes, it's frustrating that you'll have to ride all the way back into town and talk to the people and go to the store again. but you also won't.
Your game won't break.
Right. Yes. Right. Exactly.
Oh, so this is like specifically if you restart checkpoint, then these
versus
people,
you restart mission.
Do they vanish for the rest of the game?
No, they come back at the start of chapter four, I think.
Yeah. Are there quests and stuff available, or are they kind of like?
So this is what I'm seeing mixed reports on, is that sometimes yes, sometimes no.
I think main missions seem to stay intact, like if they're related to anything.
Well, that's weird, though, because the fishing thing is what was initially what brought our attention to it, was that people were missing Jack's mission, where, like, mild spoilers, you take Jack Marston to go fishing, and that's how you get your fishing pole and how you can catch a legendary fish later in the game. And some people just weren't having that pop.
I thought it was a weird glitch how when he comes back, he's a full-grown man, even though it's not like a month has passed.
So I actually didn't do that mission until way later, but then again, I might have just like taken my sweet time with how I got there, so I don't know.
So that's a mission that you have to do towards the end of Chapter 2.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like the second or third to last one, basically.
Right.
Because you meet
some
important characters who show up and are sort of problematically involved with you.
The way tutorial stuff in the game rolls out is sort of intentionally obtuse and vague. I feel like the game doesn't sort of overtly go like, this is your next story mission. This is your next tutorial mission. This is the thing you have to do. Or like, so things just sort of like pop up and happen. And also maybe you go to town and you spend a couple hours there and then you head out on the plains for 3 days or whatever you want to do. So it's like, I totally see why people are trying to figure out what this is or isn't, because it takes a minute to get anywhere in this game and to not really know exactly what you're doing next.
I think that's the real key, though, is that, like, if Jack doesn't show up to give you that quest, like, you know, I kind of mainlined the main story up through probably about the first, like, three or four chapters. And so for me, I've learned how to fish really early on. But there's people who are in chapter two still who've been there for a week and a half at this point, who are just like, you know what? I just want to roam around. I want to hunt animals. I want to fish. But I can't fish. Why? Yeah. And it's never one of those things, because you wouldn't expect a side activity like fishing to be tutorialized or even like the ability granted to you in a main story mission.
Yeah, no, completely. It's also, I mean, you're working on our guide, and we'll talk about that more, but one of the most popular things that people are looking up is how do I get a horse brush? Which is like a very, you get a horse early on, and it gets filthy almost immediately, because you're out there, you know, in the muck.
Yeah, and because of the way the game is designed, it tells you, like, hey, if your horse is dirty, you will have to clean it to make, but you literally just can't do that.
You can't do
like
it. And you get off the horse and you focus on him, and you can pat him, and you can feed him and stuff like
he's
that.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. He's a good. Give him some good oats and such.
Tasty, tasty oat cakes.
Oh yeah,
you know really what? Good, but like you can't brush him yet.
What messes me up about this, and this is, I feel like, a complaint with one of those. The game is very realistic in that your horse can get dirty and that you can brush your horse. But even if your horse is completely clean and you brush your horse, that dust still comes off. So I'm like, my horse is obviously not that clean. Can I take my horse to the bathhouse?
You ride your horse through the water.
I do that a lot. Or dunk him in a good river.
Why is he still dusty after he was in the river?
If you're Barrett Courtney.
Or if you're Barrett Courtney,
you gotta get some of that head and shoulders, mane and tail.
You can just keep brushing him. Barrett has had an issue where he's been brushing the horse. He does it like 8 times. Barrett just loves brushing that horse. It's what he's obsessed with. He spent like 60 hours in the game just brushing. It's weird and uncomfortable. But the brush gets stuck to his hand.
What?
Well, it's... Oh, no. Right? So he's talking to me about this.
Okay.
And it's a very specific sequence of events.
Oh, okay.
You brush the horse, 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 and then you feed the horse.
Oh, the feeding.
You just feed him the brush, and like...
I think he tries...
There you go, boy. Eat up.
So apparently what happens is the brush gets stuck to your hand, and throughout the rest of that horse interaction, it's just there as part of your hand. So, I mean, the nice thing is the fix for this is pretty easy. Don't brush your horse 9 times in a row.
Or just reload your
save. Hell, Barrett?
Barrett, you're messing up in that game. Obviously,
quite a horse fancier, that Barrett Courtney.
Not
as
much.
He's going to go a little bit Lenny on them, and is just going to brush it until it dies.
Ooh. Lenny!
No, not that Lenny.
you're talking of Mice and Men?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. I've heard. Another glitch, speaking of horses that we've seen going on a lot in the game, is horses just being set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
There's this road outside roads where there is invisible fire until horses or pedestrians get caught in it, and they just get set ablaze.
And it's at a specific area, right?
Yeah.
Because I retweeted this. Mike Mahardy from GameSpot, who's a friend of the show, went on an adventure and just caught this moment where there was basically a pile of horses on fire, and another guy rode a horse into it, and that horse burst into flames. And it is it's bleak.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is a hard thing to watch. Bug or feature, guys?
Both.
I feel like that could be a small crevice into
hell.
Well, that
I mean, do you guys remember? Do you guys remember in Vice City there was a particular curb, and if you rode a motorcycle into it, it vomited money into the street. Like, there was just that, there was the money curb.
Right.
Yeah, there's the money curb.
Was that a glitch or?
Who cares?
Yeah, no one knows.
Free money out of the street.
Well, that was the discussion we had about this of like, maybe it's witchcraft in the game. Maybe this intersection is.
Part of it, I don't know if it's the same intersection or not, but Destin Legary sent me a video of somebody out in the middle of the wilderness at night with this just really ominous glowing circle in the middle of a field. It could have been this intersection. It was too dark to really tell. Where it was just like, he walked into the middle of it, stood there for a second, everything glowed really red, and then he just caught on fire.
Holy shit!
Like, and so I'm curious, like, because we've seen slight, I guess, Easter egg spoilers. I don't know if it's a thing you people care about. But, like, we know that there are straight-up UFOs. There's aliens that show up in the game if you know where to look. Yeah, it's crazy.
That is that's Rockstar as hell.
Yeah.
Are they the same aliens from GTA 5?
Their ships look eerily similar.
Hmm. Ships?
No, don't worry about it.
You'll get there.
You can find all those and more on IGN.com.
I love Rockstar for this.
Because so
they know that people are going to dig that deep.
Yeah. And so my question here is, like, is that fire circle, like, is that just, like, what's supposed to be a campfire but it's broken? Or is it just an interdimensional death ray that you just can walk into and then be killed by?
I think it's the crevice to Hades.
There it is.
Yep. The horses should stay far away from this. I mean, I feel like you learn about people reporting like odd mysteries from back in the day, and they didn't understand things. And it's like, that seems like the kind of thing Rockstar would be like, what if we had spontaneous combustion at one particular intersection? But in reality, it's just a sinkhole and like a methane leak or something with volcanic activity.
I'd be down on that.
I don't know.
I'd believe either way. Another thing, people have pointed this out to me. I don't think this counts as a bug necessarily. I think this is just a... not much forethought in the design of it. In cinematic mode, your horse can just run into things all the time.
Yes.
Do we want to define that as a glitch or just like they didn't think about when you're in cinematic mode,
well,
maybe making it pass?
We were yelling about this a little bit last week, but that the horse isn't that smart. I'll put it that way.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't
it's kind of a motorcycle that shits.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it. It doesn't really account for the world and the geometry around it usually. So there are times where you'll be like, you'll turn around while riding at full speed, fire at a bunch of guys, and it'll just run into a tree, and everyone snaps their necks and dies.
Yeah. See, that's more the problem for me than the cinematic camera.
Yeah.
The cinematic mode, you have auto ride.
Like, mm-hmm.
You go wherever you tell it, provided you're not like in the middle of a mission.
Yeah, if there's somebody in the street, though, the horse doesn't care.
Yeah,
no,
it'll still
I've gotten
run
the cops called on me so many times for that.
I'm actually really surprised about that wasn't a thing that was like in sort of intrinsic and important to their design very early on to be like, there's going to be some shootouts in this game. You're going to be on a horse. Let's make it so the horse doesn't kill you.
Yeah. I mean, that's even a holdover from the first Red Dead, to be honest. Like, I feel like with the mechanic of shooting backwards on a horse, you can use R3, but then the way that you have to keep moving it by tapping X to go fast enough. Like, it's not like in GTA where you can just hold down the right trigger and that keeps your car moving while you tap one of the bumpers to shoot.
Right.
With this, you actually have to, like, hold down one thing with the button that you are using to also tap your run button with. So it's very difficult to actively shoot behind you as you're riding along.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like pat your head, rub your stomach, chew gum, walk and talk.
But it's pat your head, rub your stomach with the same hand.
Yeah.
That's the real thing on my front.
Yes.
I'm just like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's because like in GTA, you can't just tell a car to drive while you shoot the gun, right?
I mean, maybe GTA 6 will see self-driving cars.
That would be awesome. Mm. Yeah.
Like they'll do that on their own.
Yeah. Or they just go hard sci-fi. It's just like the year 2079.
I would be all
Or 77.
That.
No, it's 2 years after.
Nah, I don't want that at all.
No, you don't want sci-fi GTA?
No, I want, if we're doing GTA 6, there was a graphic floating around for a while that was GTA, you know, VI, Roman numeral 6, and then just CE pops in. And this is GTA Vice.
Oh.
And it's, I mean, I'm into
back
that.
To Vice City, but it's with, you know, the Red Dead.
Just play Vice City again. I want the future.
I don't want to play Vice City again.
I want a future car with the floating
What about
trains?
The future of the 80s today? I want those super smart crocodiles to come back.
That's
I
wanna, all I wanna, cyberpunk is the I future
just,
of the 80s.
Look, realistically, we just really want golf carts. Because that's what Vice City introduced initially.
I agree.
Was golf carts.
Couldn't flip them over. Wonderful things.
They're perfect.
Another
perfect car.
Another one I wanted to touch on from the realm of glitches and everything, a good one, though, is the gold bar glitch that's been happening quite a bit, can find it.
I blew it.
You did? You messed it up?
You
so
that bar?
Andrew Goldbar.
Sorry, buddy.
No. So
you can still dupe the other, there's another one lying around that you can do for 2 gold bars.
So there's a limpany lockbox.
Yeah,
so what's, let's talk about what the glitch is.
Yeah. Sorry, yes.
For the radio listeners at home on this fine television program.
Limpany lockbox and then the...
great limpany lockbox!
Limpany lockbox!
Oh, that's a real good one.
Basically, you have to start picking up the golden bar there. You pause, save, and then load that save.
Yeah.
And then you re-pick up the bar. And
I think it's in like the sheriff's office in a burned out town that you find by the river near your camp.
Yeah. So Limpany is this really burned down town. We don't really know what happened to it. There's an interesting side of this that we had to do a lot of investigating on to make sure like what the actual parameters for this exploit were when we were putting it in the guide. And there's 2 things in that lockbox, and this is what actually breaks it, is that there's a gold bar, and then there's also like a pamphlet with a horse recipe.
Papers.
Yeah, there are horse papers in
there.
And the key is that for some reason, when you pick up the bar first and pause and save during that break, it somehow eats the horse papers, and then that makes the gold bar infinitely duplicate.
Yeah, and so I hit the map button instead of the start button, and he just picked up the gold bar.
I gotcha.
And so then, like, he was just like, "Ah, cool! I got a cool gold bar and these great horse newspaper magazines."
You could have just reloaded your save earlier.
He looked directly in the camera and he's like, "I love a good horsey magazine to read. I'm a horse.
I'm Arthur Morgan, and I'm a fine equestrian."
Yeah,
I've seen some of the articles. He likes it for the photos, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh no! Good thing about a horse magazine, you can feed it to the horse afterwards.
We're not talking about the Red Dead 2 porn. We decided on.
We're actively not covering that on this website.
Horse papers.
To my knowledge, that exploit still works. I've seen some reports and some feedback on our wiki that it doesn't anymore, but I tried it yesterday and it worked just fine.
Yeah, because I haven't seen... Have you seen any patches for this game kind of like sneak off?
No, I've seen no sneaky
updates. I saw patches sneak off in the night and I chased him down. He had a bounty on
him. Howdy, mister!
Patches Olahan.
Oh, no.
All right, boy. All right.
Dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Mister.
Patches will eventually come for the camp glitch, though. They've said that's coming. I assume they probably might change this gold bar exploit.
I assume that they will, so get them while the getting's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I say, like, I really, for the amount of moving parts and just intricacies in this game, it should be way more broken. It should have, like, way more weird glitches, and it's nice to see some of them trickling out. Like, there was some with, like, physics stuff where somebody, like, falls off their horse and they, like, bounce, like, 30 feet in the air. Or, like, I ran into a woman who... it was somebody in my camp, and she came up and she was talking to me, and apparently it thought that she'd been eating recently, but there was a spoon that was floating 4 feet away from her that was like still attached to her hand. So she's like waving her arm around, and there's this spoon that's like in her immediate orbit that's just like floating around. And then there was like a bowl of stew just kind of off to the side, just like floating there like a ghost. And I'm like, I like that stuff. I like it when a game is just a tiny bit broken.
Like when their physics just wonk out just a little bit. Like there was one that I saw where Arthur and Dutch were having a conversation at camp and they both started just spinning around and then they each fell over and continued to whip around.
That was...
Like, it was really horrifying.
That's one of those things I've never seen before. The fact that it kept speeding up.
Yeah, you've seen the same one.
You're like, oh, this is getting out of control,
Right? Yeah. But like you said, like it does amaze me that for all of those videos that I've seen, like my game has not had any of those.
Yeah.
I've never seen such problems aside from the occasional like physics glitch of a dude flying off into space.
I talked about this briefly last week, but the only thing I've seen was I was in a shootout with some boys out in the yard or whatever. And they all fell down and then skipped the animation of them getting back up. So they were just like, "Hi-ya!" Just like, left into the air and started shooting me again. I was like, "Ghosts!"
The ninja gang.
I killed you. I watched you die.
But yeah, I tweeted about this, and this has nothing to do with glitches, but I think that like this is a really... it's a really special game, and it's easy for us to sort of focus on like the glitches or the negative stuff, like slow and stuff like that. But I think what is really magical about this game is just getting kind of lost. And I think that like a lot of games try this, and Breath of the Wild was really good at this, of just having these like these vast stretches where nothing's happening and you're coming over this ridge and everything's quiet. But in that game, you had an iPad and people could Skype you and telepathically reach you whenever you wanted. There was fast travel to any tower in the game you unlocked.
Yeah.
And in this game, sometimes you're just like 40 miles from your tent and you're like, I don't know where I am or where I'm going. And you just like stumble upon a town or a campfire that no one's using. And it's really breathtaking. Like, there's really nothing like it. And I think it's because, A, the time period means that you don't have, you know, fucking passenger pigeons or whatever and cell right. phones and all this. There's no one calling you. There's no, you know, there's no giant tin can with 200 feet of rope where Dutch is getting in touch with you. B, fast travel is extremely limited, borderline non-existent in this game. Yeah. And C, I think the game does a really good job of ringing on that sort of solitude that Arthur has. And there are a lot of NPCs in this game, but they're not necessarily looking for you, and they're not mm-hmm. relying on you as a hero to save the world. They're just outdoing their own thing.
They don't give a hell who you are. Like they're I love that about it. Like, yeah. You'll run into people who are like, they're annoyed that you're there, but they're not trying to kill you necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a nice kind of like, there's a lot of gray area in this yeah. game, you know, and that's something that's kind of refreshing. Like, to come across an NPC who has a story to tell, but it isn't a whole side quest or sub story or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, just small. And it's really clever. And I like mm-hmm. that. Like, it's also like, maybe you find somebody who's like, a horse fell on me, or like a snake bit yeah. my leg.
Or like but attractions for you to interact
yeah.
with.
Yeah. But you can also just trot right past those people and maybe your morality dips up and down or whatever.
Right.
But
yeah.
Like, nothing really changes. And whereas, like, and I love Zelda, you know, like, I'm literally wearing a Zelda pin right now. Like, I've always loved those games. But like, when you walk around in those games, Link he interacts with the world, and people are constantly like, are you the hero of time here to save us all?
Yeah.
And in this game, people are just like, get your shitty horse off of my lawn. They don't care who you are.
Have you run into a prospector yet? Anybody?
No, not yet.
So if you travel up into the mountains, like especially near rivers, like you'll occasionally find some dude like panning for gold.
Oh, I did find one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is, what I love about this is that it's just like every single NPC has their own little automatically assigned personality, and that dude is almost notoriously paranoid
mm-hmm.
because like all I wanted to do was just be like, I curiously as a player wanted to be like, I'm wondering if this NPC will actively sit here and mine for gold until right. he goes to bed. And instead, because I just sat there and watched him, he would just, he got like really mad, started to go back to it, and then like continued to be mad that I was there because not because I was just standing there, but because he thought that I was trying to steal his gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot in the world that, as I've been playing more, it's surprising when you're just out there and discover those things. And like, mm-hmm. Brian, to your point, I think the most fun that I've been having with the game, especially, is when like I was going from mission to mission in the plot and following a red line to get there, but I just stopped clicking on the red lines and just started exploring.
Yeah.
But we have a couple of people who sort of spoke to that topic from the Facebook Beyond group, which is facebook.com/groups/podcastbeyond. And specifically, John Costle asked, how do you feel about the linear plot in RDR2? I usually like a linear plot, but this game feels like it is all about freedom and customization when I'm not doing story missions. So it's jarring when I do a story mission and that's suddenly taken away. I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
I disagree with saying this has a linear plot.
Mm-hmm.
I think this does a really good job of obscuring the sort of the plot line. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. to tell a story, you can't just have it be completely wide open. Like, open world games are always going to be at odds with crafting a narrative, because right. it's a sandbox, you know. And if you want to like actually tell a custom, like, I mean, I know some people were like, wait, why can't you customize your cowboy? And it's like, because they're telling the story of Arthur Morgan. Like, yeah. there's some kind of the developer has to make some calls there. I think Red Dead does a really good job of spacing the story out in a way that makes you forget that it is linear.
Mm-hmm.
And also the stakes are like, yes, there's stuff at stakes. And I've talked about this before, but like, I really love that starting the game, you kind of don't know what's going on. Like, you're sort of running from stuff, but it's unclear what,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know who these characters are and you get to know them. But the fact that like, yeah, you can be 15 hours into a game and then you learn how to fish.
Yeah.
Is sort of indicative of exactly how, like, this is a game that's slowing you down
yeah.
intentionally, and it's really nice, because that was one of the problems that I had with, I know a lot of people had this with The Witcher 3, where like, yeah, the main story is kind of linear, and it's also like, it's like, oh, there's a bad guy's coming in the world, the fate of the world's at stake, but you really are more interested in the kind of the weird little side stories and like the little intricacies of the world. Like, it's weird to create this huge open world and then make players feel like there's an urgency to rush through it.
Well, yeah. because the story is sort of obfuscated, whatever that word is that I was scrubbed.
You got
by the fact that you are not necessarily going, like, when you pull up a HUD on an Assassin's Creed game, or you know, a lot of open world games, it says like story mission, side mission,
right.
you know, like it actually literally labels those things. And here it'll be like, Dutch, Linda, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go. I guess I'll go hang out with Linda, but I don't know if that's like a thing I'm doing because she's cool or interesting, or because I'm nudging the needle of the story along.
Yeah.
And so those are delineated by human interaction, or you know, the video game approximation of human interaction.
And JR, you've beaten the game.
Yeah.
Specifically, I was curious what you felt, if you feel like there is a sort of like a linear plot as you get further into it, that's juxtaposition with the rest of the world, or not.
I don't necessarily think it's you know, at odds with the rest of the world. There are some story beats that very clearly urge you to continue on with the story as opposed to the open world. But I think one of the things that this game does really, really well is that, like, because there are a bunch of kinds of players, like, you know, I blasted through the main story for the guide, but, like, also I have the tendency to kind of do that as it is, because I want to do the story, and then I want to check out the rest of the world. And they do a really good job in designing how you sort of come back to your missions, because it's not, like you said, it's not necessarily saying, like, hey, you're going to go do this, and then you know for a fact you're going to do this part of this mission. You know, when you come back, when you decide to go and talk to Dutch or Bill or Sadie or whoever, they're going to acknowledge the fact that maybe you're coming directly to them right after you finish another job for somebody else, or maybe you've been gone for 6 weeks and they're like, where the fuck have you been?
Yeah, totally. Which I think is really cool. And you know, Jonathan, I think you just kind of touched on it, but like the game never really said, go explore. Like Spider-Man did that.
Yeah.
Spider-Man did that all the time. Yeah. They were like, you did a story mission, but you know, you can't have a picnic with Aunt May until Saturday afternoon. So go do some stuff in the city. Yeah, get out there and get real good. And this game was just sort of just like, it told me nothing. And so one day I was like, hey, you know, I've never just like put a marker on the furthest point north on the map and just rode. And I did. And I was like, no one ever told me to do that. I haven't had a reason to tell myself to do that, but why not? And I did that, and all of a sudden I was like, I saw an entire country.
Yeah.
You know, like I felt like I lived a whole life. It was insane. Like the amount of stuff I interacted with, I came up over these mountains. I saw animals I'd never seen before. You know, I felt dozens of miles away from any town or at any place where a bunch of people had congregated.
And do you think there's anything specific that Red Dead 2 does over other open world games that changes that aspect? Because you can, in a sense, in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I can go, once I get a ship, I could technically go to whatever island and make it killed pretty easily.
But yeah,
I
could, so I think it's like the hyper-minimalist HUD is a thing that right off the bat makes it so it feels like you were drawing in a map. You know, it feels like you are filling out something that has been undocumented. It's also like part of the land at the time just feels untouched.
One of the things I suggested when telling people to play like The Witcher was like turn off your mini map, and you actually navigate using the world, and like there are signposts and stuff. And I love Red Dead for having a compass as an option, because that was my one thing is like in Witcher, whenever it was I was talking about it, like you had to still check your map to see which direction you were supposed to be going if there wasn't any like little compass or HUD.
Right.
But like that's something that Skyrim does really well, where you're like, I guess I have to go that way.
Yep.
I don't know how far it is. I don't know what's that direction, but I'm going that way, which I think is really cool. But something I really love that Red Dead does extremely well is obviously like, you know, you get Dutch or Linda on your map and you know those are people you have to go talk to. And then there are these sort of random occasions where things happen and you're not clear what type of an interaction it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means like bandits are jumping you. Sometimes that means like sometimes you see the little white blip on your map and you're like, I'll go interact with whatever that is. And maybe it's a guy who got bit by a snake. Maybe it's a guy who stepped in a bear trap. Maybe it's an entire like side quest. And sometimes it is. And it's crazy to be like, oh, here's something that's not clear. Like in any other open world game, I feel like you'd walk by, you know, a character you could interact with. And maybe they would be like, hey, mister, help me over here. And it would be like a little thing would pop up.
Right.
And it's like, new quest available. New side story unlocked. And it doesn't tell you that. And if you ignore the white blip, then you just keep going and that's it. And, you know, sometimes it's like a two-step interaction where it's like, talk to person, give medicine, and your karma goes up or whatever.
Right.
But in some cases, it unlocks a whole little side story, and there's no way you would know about that unless you actually just pursued it. And like that's, I think by having a limited fast travel and by having this sort of rudimentary map, it encourages this level of exploration. I interviewed the creative director of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and he said something that I thought was really interesting, which was that they were going for discovery versus just exploration.
Right.
And there's the idea that, like, it's not just the trail of breadcrumbs, it's whatever is at the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's something that Red Dead does just impeccably, is, like, really like rewarding curiosity and rewarding players for like for digging around. And I mean, we've seen Rockstar do this for decades. Like there was that like weird like little bug in GTA or not bug Easter egg in GTA 3 where like if you glitch yourself into some building or on top of a roof, it says you shouldn't be here. You know, and it's like they knew that somebody would get up there yep. and they wanted to sort of reward that with a weird little wink and a nod. And mm-hmm. you look at all the UFO stuff in GTA 5 and like I don't think there ever was any like answer to that, but
well, it also rewards patience, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not like your typical open world game that's constantly doling out, you know, prizes and rewards and like beacons and stuff like that. Right. This is not a Far Cry game where there's towers everywhere. This is not Breath of the Wild where there's 120 shrines and every 10 feet there's a Korok seed. There's really not a lot sometimes. Sometimes you go, you know, vast stretches where nothing happens and you see nothing and you're like, what am I really pushing forward to? And
right.
It reminds me of sort of like moments in Bloodborne where I was like, I feel so far from safety and I don't know what's around the corner, but I'm going to keep going. And obviously that is an infinitely more dangerous world that is constantly trying to kill you at every corner, but gave me some of the same highs of sort of like, I don't really have a home base and I don't know how far it's going to take me to get back. And I don't know I have enough health or potions or whatever it is,
right.
but I'm going to keep trying because like discovery is fun.
Yeah.
I had this weird interaction where I was poking around in the northern end of the map and I met the king of the forest. Have you guys encountered this gentleman?
Is he the wolf boy?
I don't know.
Is he a naked man running around with a bunch of wolves?
No, that's a different one.
Cool, you'll have to keep your eyes out for him then,
that
everybody.
Sounds like fun. No, this, mm-hmm. there was I hear like...
You could say anything, I believe you.
Hey, get out of here. You can't be here. Go, be gone. And I'm like, who do I have to fight this
what?
Person? And there's a guy in a tree wearing a little wooden crown and he's just like, go on then. Get out. And I was like, all right. And I left. And like, that was.
Hey there, mister.
Like, I think you can greet him and you're mister. And you're like, you know, that's it. And it was just, I don't know if there's more to that story. I don't know if there's.
The thing is, like, maybe there isn't. And what I like about a lot of what I found on Reddit is that, like, sometimes there is a lot of, like, delayed gratification to that. Like, I wouldn't mm-hmm. be surprised if either A, nothing happens, he was just some crazy old man in a tree, or if there is like a super weird line of quests mm-hmm. hidden away for once you get further on in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And of course there's going to be that like bespoke dialogue for Arthur where, I think I might have encountered someone along those lines. And you're like, what, exactly. How did you think that far ahead?
The very specific yeah. dialogue, even just early in the game, within even the first 20 hours, just like, oh wow, you guys really thought through a lot of these conversations.
Yep.
And I think we're going to be seeing a lot of permutations of the game, a lot of threads and a lot of secrets and corners of this world explored for probably months to come.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about Red Dead 2, obviously, more as more things are found out.
A very long time.
We're also, of course, going to be talking about Red Dead Online as that comes to fruition as well. But moving on for this month, if you are playing other things besides Red Dead 2, you may know there are new free PlayStation Plus games this month.
Ooh.
A couple of these were leaked earlier.
Aww.
One of them is important to someone on this
yes.
game. We're going to get there in a second, though. I'm going to read the others.
The Jackbox just Party to, Pack.
There you go.
Two. That's me.
Two.
It's important to me.
That's a good
it's
game. That's a good part.
Whatever
those
matters
are actually
to
really fun.
They're really fun games.
I will
yeah.
say that.
Roundabout is coming to PS Vita, cross by with PS4. Burly Men at Sea for PS Vita and cross by with PS4. That's just a great title.
I'm very curious about what that game is.
Arcado series for PS3. Jackbox Party Pack for for PS3, and then Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition for PS4 as well, and Yakuza Kiwami, which we apparently accidentally put on the top 25 PlayStation 4 games list in honor of Max Scoville.
So here's the thing, and I've said this before. If you're looking for a start,
every week.
I say this every week because not enough people play these games. They're good, really good games.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
I'm playing Red Dead.
Yakuza Kiwami is a great starting point. A lot of people were like, no, Zero's better. Okay, why didn't they put Zero, an older game, in PlayStation Plus? Kiwami's a great starting point. You can jump from that to Kiwami 2, which is running in a more modern engine. It's
you
very fun. It's a
logic
free game.
Or rhyme or reason to a list that also has Burly Men at Sea for PS Vita on it. I think they probably just get what they had, whatever
probably,
they had in reach.
Also, Duke Nukem is in Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition, which is weird that they just patched in Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Weird. With like full
balls,
voice acting.
Balls of steel.
I might play that.
I will say, when Duke it first Nukem. Came out, Bulletstorm was a stupid bit of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like leaning, erring on the stupid side, but also it's still very fun game.
Yeah. I totally agree.
I'm curious what you guys think. This is just a thought that I've seen floating around for PS Plus games as it goes on. They've announced that they're going to be retiring part of this list, that they're not going to be giving games to, I think definitely PS3, but mm-hmm. I forget if Vita is also included in there. Oh. Do you think they're going to start adding more PS4 games into that list? Do you think they're going
to
add PSVR more often into
to sort
this
of
list?
Replace their
list? Yeah, do you think they're going to do that at
so.
All? Or
yeah. Trying to sell PlayStation VR as they really should.
Yeah.
It's kind of stupid that they haven't been doing that.
I think at least one PSVR game a month. Would
I agree, and it's also, it wouldn't be there are, I'll put it this way. The large majority of PSVR games are cheap. They are in the like sub $30 territory, yeah, especially now, especially one of the ones that were there around launch. So that's easy value for them. And in terms of what you're getting every single month, it's a good deal. I think it's interesting because a lot of those games will be of no use to people that don't have a PSVR. But then again, if you've retired your PS3 like I have, I see Arkito series on this list and I'm like, oh, well, I'm glad someone's enjoying that, but that won't be me. So for the last, actually, since I set up my PS4 and I put my PS3 out to pasture, it's been that part of the list has been useless to me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Without that backward compatibility in there, it's a bit curious to see it going on for so long. Obviously, yeah, there was a big install base, but I agree with you, Max. I think if they want to keep promoting PSVR, yeah, it makes sense to just throw that into, mm-hmm, the list going forward.
Also, like anybody, like I know that, you know, video games are expensive and having current gen stuff isn't always, you know, financially achievable, but like we're at a point now where it's like the PS4 is like a very, very safe bet and you can get a used one for cheap or a, yeah, you know, a slim one or whatever. And it's like, it's got such a kick-ass library that it's...
Well, I think it's something like Games with Gold does really well, which basically if you have an Xbox One, you can hypothetically play everything released that month on the system that you own.
Yeah, right? If they weren't backward compatible, mm-hmm, they are when they are free for Games with Gold.
Yeah, and yeah, so here, like, it's like a, almost a secret cheat code every single month where you have to say cross-buy, because when you go on PS4 to download something like Burly Men at Sea, which is a Vita game but works on PS4, they don't tell you really front and center all the time that you can get it there for free. So you have to, like, type it in manually, dig it up, pull it up, and then download it. And that's like...
That's so weird.
It's weird because it's them being like, we're giving you this thing for free, but we're keeping it a secret from you. So yeah, that's kind of a pain in the ass. So I'd like to see everything sort of centralized. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see everyone just download Yakuza Kiwami, even if you're not going to play it right now. It's very good. It's a pretty...
I promise you this, Max. I have 2 weeks free at the end of December. I will play Yakuza Kiwami.
Just sit on it. Just get it. You know, just really, just why are you zooming in on me? This is weird. Don't do that.
Want to let the audience know how much you care.
Just say the name one more time and then he'll zoom out.
Yakuza Kiwami. Am I looking at the right? Which camera is it? That one? That one? All right. Anyway.
There we go. Yeah.
Thank you, Barrett.
Save it. Just get it.
I do hope they start to flesh out PS Plus a little bit more, especially as you were saying, there is a big install base from the last generation, but there were recent PS4 sales numbers. I didn't put them in the run of show, but they were actually, it performed better in the last quarter than they expected because of the sales success of Spider-Man and everything. So they're right, projecting even more consoles than originally planned for being sold this year. And it's still the market leader. It's still obviously a big thing. So chances are playing to the PS4 base with these free games just makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Moving on, though, in terms of what you can play on PS4 and PSVR, a few games coming out this week that I thought we should talk about.
Cool.
One of them being, I don't know how to exactly pronounce this. I pronounced it based on Google for my review, so we'll see who's mad at me after that. Derasine.
I thought it was Derasine.
So that's how I've been pronouncing it, and then I put it into Google, and Google Translate was like, Derasine.
Derekine.
Derekine.
Derekine. Derekine. It's
Derekine.
French. It's French?
Yeah, I believe it means uprooted.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I reviewed this game. It's a PSVR exclusive. I give it a 7.8. It is from Software and SIE Japan Studio.
Oh, it's their VR thing.
Yeah, it's their VR. So it is, when you think of From Software, it is not what you would initially expect from them. In terms of how it plays in VR, it is very sort of standard. You teleport from spot to spot in this large mansion sort of boarding school area. You're playing as a fairy who is frozen in time. So when you move around, the entire environment around you is still, including the students, the children who live here. But the thing is, you also see their past echoes, since essentially you live out of time. Hmm. And so it's essentially a point-and-click adventure game that you are physically in the middle of. And so it's like, cool, I need to collect these herb samples for their soup that they're making, and they've hidden them around the school somewhere to keep them from me. And so I have to listen to a conversation, listen to a conversation they have in the past over here, find out that this kid has the key in his pocket over here, and then find out where the chest is holding the herbs based on another kid's interaction somewhere else.
Wow.
And so it's a lot of that, of like that adventure game logic in there. And so in terms of playing it in VR, it's fine. Like it works. It doesn't really use its main central mechanic, which is you have two rings as a fairy. One is related to time, one is related to life. And essentially you can grab something and take the time left in its life from it and imbue it into another being. Which is like a cool puzzle mechanic that they only use maybe three or four times. But the big part about this game, which is why I enjoyed it so much, was the storytelling of it. And it really proves, I think, when From Software has a like much smaller focus on a thing, they really flesh out the story and character specifically there. I know a lot of people tend to talk about Dark Souls and Bloodborne having story, but it's more like in the environment for you to explore.
Yeah, you got to dig around for
it. Whereas this surprisingly has a bit of lore buried away in it that is pretty cool, but it is very much a focus on who these kids are and their relationship.
Did you see the Easter egg?
Yes. Yeah. So,
can we talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it. It's not a huge spoiler. A lot of people right now think the game sort of confirms Bloodborne 2 is happening, and I'll pull up the actual text of the story. We'll see if that's true. So essentially, one of the kids, there's a few, you pick up a lot of books in the world and a lot of dolls and random miscellaneous things in the world. And one of them is a doll that's in one of the girls' beds, and it has the way it is positioned essentially is a, I believe it is the way a character behaves in Bloodborne. I forget
it's,
the exact mechanism.
It's like this sort of like very toyetic breakdown of the doll character you interact with in Bloodborne.
Oh, in the dream?
In your dream area. And she talks about being from a story that's unfinished.
Yeah, so the description of the doll, every object you pick up, it says the description specifically of this doll is a doll of the stone girl Fiona, who appears in the unfinished tale. When a person has a bad dream, Fiona appears and helps them flee.
Yeah.
That reference to an unfinished tale got people talking
so
about everything.
So it's either nothing, or it's the best
everything.
Thing.
Or it's the best thing you've ever heard.
We don't know.
So Miyazaki was involved with this game. Yeah. He was a producer on it and everything. And I do, as someone who's not like well steeped in Bloodborne lore, I've seen a few things of whether it was those hints or just the way it starts to flesh out the fairy lore in that world. Mm-hmm. And actually in really cool ways where I'm like, oh, I kind of want to see more about this go on.
I love that they're just, that's such a wonderfully obtuse FromSoft thing where it's like, oh, totally. You want to find out about Bloodborne 2? You got to play a VR game about fairies making soup for children.
Yep. Yep. Look at a doll.
Get good.
Yep. I love that. I love that so much.
I'd recommend, if you have a PSVR, I, again, rated it a 7.8. I think it's good. Like, the act of playing it was never like, oh my God, this is an amazing VR experience. But I was surprised at how much I started to really engage with the school itself and the children because I really grew to care about them. A lot of their dialogue is very, like, saccharine and sweet and kind of on the surface level, but you start to care about the relationships with one another and the way they have you interact with the house. Each chapter closes and opens certain parts of it, so you really get familiar with the space. And I kind of thought of it as like, oh yeah, like I remember going through my childhood home and like running up the stairs to go to my room this way. That's how I thought of the house.
Oh, interesting.
Is it scary?
There is. So it starts out very sweet and cheerful.
But
and
it's got this like Victorian, like, things could be spooky at
the
moment.
There is always this undying or underlying sense of when is this going to go bad or when are things going to turn. And there is a dark turn, but it never gets like bloody, like gross bloodborne creatures.
I don't have to see bloodborne monsters in VR, correct?
Yes, okay. Yeah. That's not, that's
I
not
wish.
No, but you don't. Show them. See, you think that, but you don't.
I do want to see them. I want to see the wet.
You
want to
see weird,
man.
Weird tentacle monsters showing up out of nowhere into shadows and eating you? No.
I do more than anything.
More than anything.
More than anything.
You're a father. Don't you want to see your daughter grow well?
Yeah, after.
Yeah, but
after
what about
after
what about eating that farting sewer pig in VR?
Exactly.
there
is
a gem in his butt.
It is. It's a good gem too. You crush it and you get points.
It's so gross.
There is this
game.
Sort of this dread that you sense the whole time and just expecting things to go on. It does deal with life and death, and you do. It sort of is a metaphor for being in VR itself because it's like, why are we interacting with this world that we have no connection to inherently? Mm-hmm. And so it.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it gets kind of philosophical there toward the end, but I enjoyed it a lot for the most part. I do think if you have a PSVR, it's worth trying out for sure. And if you're a Bloodborne fan, you'll probably find more clues than
I assume it's PSVR exclusive?
Yes.
At least for now or just indefinitely?
As of right now. Okay. I don't know anything else. Because it was co-developed by SEI Japan Sony Studios. So I would assume it'll be yes.
All right.
Another one we wanted to talk about this week. We missed the Tetris Effect demo period. The demo has been out. It was out from the 1st to the 5th. The full game comes out Friday. Impressions, reviews for the full game are embargoed till then. I do believe we'll have a review going up.
Can I talk about the demo?
Yes, you can talk all you want about the demo.
I pre-ordered it based on the demo.
Why?
Because it's really, really, really good. It is one of the most fun things I've done in VR. It is Tetris with like a little bit of extra love sprinkled in there.
It's Luminescent and Tetris.
It's from Mizuguchi. So.
Cool.
Which is really smart. That's obviously an ancient franchise for video gamers.
It's the franchise.
Yeah, it's the franchise. Like, I remember Tetris is one of those games that we see games all the time sort of transcend core gamers. and reach filthy casuals all over the place.
Right.
Tetris is like one of those games where I remember getting like on an airplane in the late 80s and seeing like adult businessmen in full suits holding Game Boys playing Tetris. Like that is just one of those things. And it's been iterated and reiterated so many times over the years. They changed the rules on it, much to the chagrin of some people who really like it. Like they've added like hold blocks and changed the falling speed and whether or not you can like hit up to instantly drop them and all this crap.
The thing they've added here that the titular Tetris effect is you have this meter that builds up and it basically goes into bullet time where you can combo lines.
And they're extra lines. So every level of the demo has, I think, three levels in it. And then the journey itself, like the main story, has a bunch more. They have to complete them. You have to get a certain number of lines depending on your the difficulty level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when you complete lines in that bullet mode, the zone,
they drop to the bottom.
They don't count toward your total. So you get more points without finishing the level.
So yeah. You can basically you can build up combos.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's cool because you're like, you get like a, I don't know, like a decaquintris or whatever. You're like, this is not a Tetris. This is like a super eight-tris. You're like, holy crap, I didn't know I could do that. And it's visually, it's like it's also, you can play it out of VR, which is really nice, which I didn't
realize. Which is how I played it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you messed up. It's incredible in VR. It's like absolutely stunning.
I'll never have that option again.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. You have to wait until Friday.
That's insane.
No,
because we're recording on Wednesday.
I was hanging out with some friends and I was like, a buddy of mine does like sound design stuff at Ubisoft, and he's a big like sound guy. He loves electronic music and all that bullshit. And I was just like, I was over at his house, and I was like, he was coming back from something, and I was like, hey dude, I downloaded this Tetris demo. You got to play it the second you walk in the door. And he's like, okay. And he puts on the hat, and it's just immediately like he was blown away. And our wives were there, and they were like, what's the big deal? It's Tetris. And they both put on the hat, and they were like, holy shit,
yeah.
this is. Yeah,
I didn't think you could make Tetris better because, like, Tetris, the base game itself it's one of the first games I ever played. It's like, as part of my family, like one of the things that got my mom and my grandpa into games. Like, it is a foundational part of my love of gaming. And it's like, oh no, this is a better version somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, just from that demo, it's like, it doesn't change the act of playing Tetris necessarily outside of that zone effect, but the experience of it is just so full.
So something I never got into Thumper because I'm terrible at rhythm games, but something I loved about it was that it managed to make things scary that weren't really, like, it was scary in this very like abstract psychedelic way.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you're being scared of giant shapes and colors, and it's scary because of the sound design. Tetris Effect totally does that. It makes like falling blocks like this menacing, and it's all with just the colors and the sounds that they're throwing at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, the music is surprisingly is really good.
I like the music in it a lot, and I love Lumines, but I think that game is all over the place soundtrack wise. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll go from being completely invested in the song and be like, I love this and I'm totally nailing like combos to this beat, and then it'll switch to something that's like a little more obtuse that you're not into, and your gameplay will fall apart. And so I think those are intrinsically connected there, and I think in this game that works so much better.
Yeah, you're not necessarily completing lines to the beat, or it's not your score isn't dependent on that,
right?
And so you can just sit back and enjoy the music and enjoy the visuals that they create in that world. And it is, I went home after we downloaded it for the first time and put my girlfriend into VR, and she was watching it in VR while I was playing, because she's terrible at Tetris, but she just wanted to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like so into it that she kept looking away from the Tetris board, and I'm like, no, you need to go back. Like, there are things I need to complete, but it just takes over you for a minute, and it is such a fun experience. I can't wait for the full game. I did the exact same thing as you. It was like, go for the full game.
It reminds me of a lot of my favorite things. It reminds me of the Prodigy's Fat of the Land. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the Akira soundtrack, and it reminds me of Killer Instinct, the Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
For entirely weird different reasons, but it's just like, hey, it's sort of colorful, menacing 90s electronica, I guess, with chanting and
into it.
Yeah,
it's also, you know, like I was saying before, this is a franchise we've seen go in so many weird, sometimes very bad directions. I mean, there was like Tetrisphere, which was effectively what if it was on a 3D globe? And then there was like Tetris 2, where they're like, you can blow up the pieces now. Like, they've done so many weird things with this franchise. It's just cool to see them go like, we're going to bring it here and it's going to be totally on point.
When I was growing up, I had like a sampler disc of Tetrises, and it was like, oh yeah, Tetris, everyone's favorite. And then it was like Tetris 2, we had bombs. Then there was Facetris, where you had falling like slivers of heads, and you had to make matching faces. So it was like this almost like Guess Who Tetris. And then there was
That was like some bootleg third party shit.
It probably was. And then there was Wordtris, where it was just
I remember that
falling letters.
Oh, don't do that.
There's Wetris where they're just soaking wet.
There was Weltris where they're falling down the sides of a well. I'm not making that up.
Downwell.
Yeah, I think it was that was probably did better than
probably. Yeah. So the demo of Tetris Effect was a think pretty clearly a joy for a lot of us. The full game comes out later this week. If you have played that demo and liked it, I think you will probably like the full game. It seems to probably just be delivering more of the same. Anyway, that is a very fun game. We had a couple questions from the group about it, though. Zach Dalton asks, what's your favorite Tetris block?
Line.
I like the right L block.
Ooh.
I have a lot of good with that.
Barrett Courtney, our producer, likes it.
Everyone should play, what is it? It's Tricky Towers?
Yeah.
It came out just recently. It's on Switch, but it's been on PS4 for ages, and it's sort of like physics-based Tetris. You can play multiplayer on the same screen. It's one of my favorite games ever. It's
Reverse
really
Z block.
Good.
Reverse Z?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. My least favorite is the square.
The square is terrible.
Yeah, I could just say S, I guess.
True.
What is the upside to the configuration of each of your favorite blocks? What does that version, the left versus the right, what does it do better than the other one?
It seems to work with my skill set and my vision.
Do you think it's because you're right or left-handed or whatever?
No, I just enjoy the way it falls into my perfectly laid blocks.
Yeah, when I feel like I look back at all the times I've been in a jam in Tetris, I feel like that's the block that
like
consistently...
That you remember all of these.
I just have every single match really of Tetris I've ever played locked away in my brain.
Nobody gives any love to the most versatile of blocks, which is the little hat?
Oh, I love that one. Yeah. One.
What the hat? You mean the hat, right?
The like shortened T.
Is it a hat?
It's kind of
the
a hat.
T. Yeah. It's just a T.
Yeah, it's a T that doesn't go tall enough. Yeah, that one's great.
There you go.
That was not.
It's bad in a hat.
Speaking of skill sets, though, when the demo came out, Barrett and I immediately got into a score competition. By immediately, I mean I outscored him, and he has not been able to reach it.
What?
So
Barrett said this is the first time he's gotten into Tetris.
Yep.
Which made me feel 170 years old.
He also thinks Donkey Kong 64 is a good game, so I think it's good to beat him.
there's a lot
in there.
To dive into there. Zachary Rolfe from the group.
He was homeschooled is really what it came down to.
Also asks from the group, if you are a fan of the original Tetris but didn't...
in the Donkey Kong country.
But didn't enjoy the Switch Puyo Puyo Tetris, will you enjoy Tetris Effect? I didn't play Puyo Puyo 2.
I played a lot of it. I don't like Puyo Puyo, so that was like taking one of my favorite recipes and then putting some shit on it that I hate. but I love Tetris, and I thought that version of it was great. One of my favorite things about that game was that you could just jump into a game instantly from the title screen, which is really great, when especially for like a handheld. But I don't like Puyo Puyo, so watching those worlds combine was like frustrating for me. But the Tetris side of it was great. I thought that like in terms of like the weird rules we've seen come and go in the world of Tetris, that one was a good balance. But if you don't like Tetris, I don't think you'll like this.
Probably, you know? Yeah, that's a safe bet. There is, I think, at some point in the game, I think there's a way to unlock it to just watch the stuff in there. I don't know if it's in the demo, but I've heard people talk about that. Mm-hmm. So I think you can just watch the experiences. So I guess if you don't like Tetris,
it is weird that they did a time demo for this.
Yeah,
that's kind of frustrating. I don't like.
Yeah, they should leave it up.
At least
I'm bummed because like you guys are super stoked on it, and I'm just like, I can't play that.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to tell you like go home and play this tonight, but like it only ran for like 4.5 days, and then it's over. And
I mean, it's like sure, it comes out Friday, but it's also just like that's forever from now.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's over 3 days from now.
How are we going to get there?
It's forever.
I don't want to wait that long to play Tetris on my VR hat.
Actually, I can't play it anymore. I had to get rid of it.
You can come to my desk.
Okay, perfect.
Anyway, I
was going to say, the one thing it does when you play like not VR static, it basically lets you position yourself in relation to the board.
Oh, cool.
Whereas when it's in VR, you basically are like, you're looking around and the board looks much better.
You can actually, I was messing around with the demo a couple days after we played, and you can zoom forward and back from the board a little
bit. Well, good.
Yeah.
I like to see those blocks up close.
Oh, yeah.
See what they're doing down there.
Yeah, there are
block fidelity.
There are a bunch of different effects modes in there too, which are like outside of the main journey mode. You can try all these things. The demo only had mystery mode unlocked, but basically every few blocks you put down, it throws like another random rule set at you. So it'll be like, now all the blocks have one of the blocks missing from it, or we're going to reverse the screen on you, or we're going to swap everything around. So it just keeps adding and piling on things.
Wow.
I knew people were stoked on this because of the Mizuguchi, Rez guys involved.
Yeah.
In. I didn't expect to immediately be the stoked on
me
it.
Neither.
So like, yeah. I don't know if you're a fan of Tetris or colors or noises, this might be a good option.
anyway, I'm going to rewind the clock because we were talking about Days Before and I had a really great transition. So anyway, yeah, Friday is a few days away, but if you want to look forward to a day that's even further away, we have some news that we want to tell you about. We will give you more details in the future, but keep Monday, December 10th. I want to make sure I have that date right, so I'm double checking. I know it's forever. Monday, December 10th, if you're in the San Francisco area, keep that day open. We will have more information coming to you about why you should keep that open, but specifically that evening, you should keep it open. We'll have some fun stuff to tell you about soon in the future. Mm-hmm. But until then, thank you all so much for listening.
Oh, vague and interesting.
Oh, that's why I like to live my life. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Episode 565. JR, where can people find you online?
You can find me on the old Twitter, at US of JR, or on IGN in the wikis department, specifically this month on Red Dead.
Yes, please check out the guide. You have done a tremendous bit of work. The whole team has done incredible
it's,
work.
It's the first guide that we've had everybody in-house on staff for in the wikis department, like working on at the same time, which is great. And yeah, huge shout out to the rest of the guides team, Miranda Sanchez, Casey DeFridis, Brendan Graber, and our small army of contributors and freelancers.
You guys done yet?
No.
They never will be.
No. No. And then guess what? Red Dead Online comes out.
Try to find those eggs.
I found the eggs. I gotta find the cards and the carvings. And the feathers.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's
all the other stuff that I haven't found yet. And the fish.
In there.
And the panthers.
Those cards are kind of a big, like, F you to players where you're like, you found a new one. One of 12 unlocked. And you're like,
well, so here's the thing about that,
like,
though.
Is like sets of them.
But you can buy them. You can go to a store and buy a pack of premium cigarettes, and the cards will come out. But if you don't want to waste your in-game money...
Are you kidding me? This game encourages you to buy cigarettes?
Did you meet Did you meet the smoking man?
I did, yeah. He tells you to get them.
He's out of his goddamn mind.
Oh, he's crazy.
He's just sitting on a bench, and he's just like, I got all these damn cigarettes.
Life-giving cigarettes.
He's insane.
Yeah, do not listen to him, children. Do not smoke.
Yeah, he's surrounded by empty packs and butts, and I mean, I didn't think they knew back then how bad that is for you to do.
They didn't.
Max, where can people find you on Twitter?
Just Max Scoville on Twitter. It's my name.
And Brian, where can people find you?
At Agent Bizzle.
And of course, every episode of Beyond is live Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific at beyond.ign.com and then Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific on YouTube and all your usual podcast services. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, Beyond.
Wait.
Yeah? Oh, no.
This episode's kind of coming a little bit short.
Oh.
It's like we got a whole minute left.
A minute? Yeah.
Could be filled.
I didn't want to, ruin
it. Kingdom Hearts.
Max, are you asking me?
I don't know. I feel like it's getting me really excited about Kingdom Hearts.
All right, here we go. Put on the timer.
Kingdom Hearts minute,
I'm
Jonathan.
Very proud of you.
3, 2, go.
Thank you so much, Max. I didn't want to upset you, so I thought we'd just skip it. But anyway, so I'm not usually a fan of Funko Pops. I don't really love them. They released a line, or they announced their line of Kingdom Hearts 3 Funkos, and don't get me wrong, they're not great. I'm going to buy all of them because I am a sap for that. Nonetheless, we also got a new Tangled trailer, so we're seeing a little bit more of that world. I'm really excited. I actually saw Tangled in full for the first time like a month ago. It's a very good film. Zachary Levi is going to be back. It seems to be retelling the story of that world. Anyway, we're getting closer and closer, and they keep putting out trailers. They keep giving us information. If you haven't already, buy the story so far. Buy the collections online on your PS4. Sorry, Xbox One players, you don't listen to the show anyway. There is so much Kingdom Hearts for you to get through. We'll be covering a lot of it in the weeks and months, hopefully not too many months to come, on IGN.com. Am I done?
No, you got 11 whole
seconds. Oh, wow, yes. Bush? Oh, I can keep going.
Name
I
all
was
the ducks.
Be bad. We're also going to be talking, name all the who?
The ducks.
The ducks. You
Donald.
Got Dewey, Louie, Screwy, Pooey, Mewy,
no.
Mewtwo.
That's, Mewtwo is not one of the Disney
Son
dogs.
Of Sam.
Son of
Donald.
Sam was a dog.
He done yet?
Well, that was it. There's your time. You know, I heard somewhere Perfect. That Funko Pops would be cheaper if their heads were smaller, but you don't have to take my word for it.
There's actually $5 inside each one of them.
Just crack it open like an egg.
Bugs or bucks?
Whatever you want.
Both.
Either one is... and with that piece of advice, thank you so much for watching and listening and beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. Beyond.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.